Good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
We turn to the book of Acts for a scripture reading, Acts chapter 4, and we begin reading from verses 32 to 35. That's Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, and they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales. Verse 35 says, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Brethren, this is the word of God. We all say amen.
Amen.
Morning, brethren.
Good morning.
Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
I know you're here and you're alive, amen?
Amen.
That's something to give God praise for,
amen.
Did you notice the title in the bulletin there? It says, All for Christ and Christ for All. You know, I'm coming up in school and reading about the, what is those guys, Athos and Porthos and the Three Musketeers. There was one for all and all for one. Now, what does that mean, all for Christ and Christ for all? I hope to explain this to you in more detail as we go through the scriptures today. We just want to give Christ, God, the glory. And we want to give God the Father praise and give Jesus Christ the Son praise for all that he has done. Now, do you realize last Sunday we observed Easter, right? Okay, that's great. Do you realize that this Sunday there are Coptic Christians over in the East? They're observing Easter today. And why is that? We are supposed to be Christians, one mind, one accord, amen?
Amen.
So, they're using the what you call the old Julian calendar. And we're using what? The Gregorian calendar. And that's good. All for Christ and Christ for all. And giving thanks to God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. We want to give them praise and thanks for Jesus Christ who came what? To preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And without him coming, we would have no eternal life. Now, what was the victory of Christ? The victory of Jesus Christ was that he gained victory over the grave, victory over death. Death, oh, where is your sting? He gained victory over the grave because how? He rose from the dead. He died, but he also rose from the grave. So that means what? That we too have everlasting life and we too have victory in Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, there's a song, Victory in Christ, right? Victory. We have that victory in Jesus Christ. This particular scripture in Acts 4:32, we find that people are doing unusual things. Why is it unusual? I hope to go through this and explain it to you why it is unusual, and especially at that time. Human nature is definitely not that way. But before we get to that, I need to try to set the stage a little bit so that you can understand what is going on and why. What is taking place and why. I had the privilege, and I mentioned this once before, of being in Jerusalem and being in the area where Christ walked and where Christ was crucified and going into the Garden of Gethsemane. And really, I wish you could really see that. It seems like those trees are still as old and ancient. When you just look at them, they give you that impression.
that they were there when Christ was there. They're just that old, and they look just that way. But also, in going down the Via della Rosa, going through the city, it doesn't look like it did when Christ went down, by the way, because it's all enclosed. It's in the city, and you just walk down a marble stone path, really, inside the city. And then you go into, go on, lead up to Golgotha, the place of the skull, and into the tomb, and you come out of the tomb. And we went in, and we walked around in there, and they placed this just right. When you depart from the tomb, go out the door, there's a sign out there that says, "He's not here, for he is risen." In other words, he is gone. And so that's a testimony to the fact God sent his only son to be a propitiation for our sins. In other words, an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He told Moses that he was going to send this Messiah. And so, you know, the Jews were kept, they kept asking, "Are you the promised one? Are you the promised one?" Well, by the works he did, they could understand that he was, but they would not accept it. They did not, the Jews, that is, would not accept that. They were looking for someone else. But Jesus Christ is that promised one, and he came, what? That we may have life, and that we may have it, what? As the scriptures say, more abundantly. More abundantly, for this mortal must put on immortality, definitely. So in this particular passage of scriptures I go through, I want to set the stage a little bit for you that you may understand it more thoroughly, because it's so very, very important. All for Christ, and get that, all for Christ. Are you for Christ? Are you? Are we? Yes. Oh, yeah, you are. Is Christ for all? Yes. Definitely. Christ is for everyone. If he wasn't or isn't, he died in vain. That is, if you're not for Christ. So, we're going to turn to Acts, the fourth chapter, and beginning in verse 1. Now, they gave me this thing, and I told them, I said, "Now, look, I think it'd be better if you use this thing instead of me. But old school is going to have to try it. All for Christ and Christ for all." So let's see what happens here. Oh, yeah, and I'm getting old and I can't see that. Oh, yeah, I can see this one. The priests and the captains of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. Now, let me back up a little bit, because this incident happened when? Somebody give me the answer. When? It had to happen, if it's the Holy Spirit, which we're going to be talking about, after Pentecost. Now, we're not talking about Pentecost, but remember, Christ was with them for what? 50 days after. When is Pentecost? 50 days later. The spring. During the spring. So, the priest and the captain of the temple guards and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. And what were they talking about? Remember during the Pentecost that, what, 5,000 people or 3,000? I forget exactly which. They were converted. Now, you know how people can spread gossip, and if there were any women there, I'm sure that spread all over the place. It spread all over the place. But now, that's a good thing. See, you men laugh. That's a good thing, because that was good news, was it not? And you're going to see that that was good news and how effective it was. I'm going to show you that. Absolutely. Absolutely. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they were upset. You know, they Pharisees, they would be upset, would they not? Because they, who is this guy? And all the things that he did, they did not really believe it. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. Until the next day. So they have to stay in jail overnight. But many who heard the message, now this is important, for many who heard the message, you see, believed, so the number of the men who believed grew about 5,000. Now, 5,000 people, you know, tell a woman and it goes, as they say, tell. And so don't you believe that this news spread all over that area? And again, let me say, I was there in during the festival time. Jerusalem is full of people from all over. And they're just like trains and lines of people traveling all around Jerusalem. If you go there one of these times, like the Feast of Tabernacles, those times, people observe it, and Passover, and you see people all over the place. All over the place. And so there were many people there, and the news spread. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas, John Alexander, and others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them. Now, this wasn't a good thing that they were bringing them before them, as we're going to see. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name do you do this?" They already knew. They had already crucified him. They knew. Well, what are they up to? Now, what are they up to? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, you and all the people of Israel, not just the Jerusalem area, but all Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified," we're getting right down to what happened, "whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." They didn't like that. They didn't want to hear that. You know that? "Then know this, you and all the people of Israel," well, we'll get it there in a minute. There we go. "Jesus is the stone. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation," now understand this. This bears on the whole text today. Remember what the scriptures say. "Hear a little, there a little, with repetitious tongues, you shall learn, because God is enabling you to understand." And there's one more thing I want to say that fits this. During the time of Christ's passion, what did he say? He told them that he was going away. But he would do what? He would send the Comforter. All of this is going to really be connected to the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Key. And that's why you are here today. Amen. "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we," you and I, "we must be saved." Must be saved. Now, dropping down to verse 29, because notice what's going to happen. "Now, Lord, consider their threats." They threatened them. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." They're trying to shut them up, right? Keep your mouth shut. Don't you proclaim that. But what did Christ say in Matthew 28? "I want you to go into all the world. And I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to preach it to everyone, commanding them in all the ways and all the things that I have taught you." Amen. Amen. But they're trying to shut them up. Shut up. Whoops. Oh, I see you hold it down. It goes too fast. What happened here? 29, 30. Yeah, I thought in my school it was 29, then 30, right? Stretch out your hand to heal. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. There is no other name whereby you may be saved. 31. After they prayed. Now I want you to get this. They're being obedient. The Pharisees are trying to shut them up. But after they prayed. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They weren't going to shut up. They could not be shut up. Shut up your mouth. But now notice what happened. They prayed. God responded to that prayer by shaking the place where they were. Remember, they were with the Sadducees. Remember, they were talking to them, and it's what they said now. They're still there. The place was shaken. What do you think the Sadducees thought about that? It doesn't go into that detail, but I tell you one thing. They had a different opinion. But now, notice, at Pentecost, the place was shaken when they prayed in the advent of the Holy Spirit. That's a shaken. That was shaken again the second time. When they prayed, God answers prayer. And sometime in dynamic ways just like this. Now, I know we are good Christians, aren't we? And we study God's word. Now, can you give me another place where this place was shaken after two people prayed? Paul and Silas in prison. Right? They prayed to God. And God did what? He shook it. Power. God shook that prison and all of people's shackles came off and the doors were open. God responded. The Holy Spirit responded. Remember, the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost. So you see some of the things that the Holy Spirit was doing in and around that time with these people and how it's going to spread and how the gospel spread. Now we come to our text for the day, our text scripture. So when we go through this, Acts 4:32, what we happened here? Right, that's right. Acts 4:32. All the believers were in one heart and in one mind. How could they all be in one heart and one mind if it was not for the Holy Spirit? The Spirit in you connects you to God. If you have not the Spirit of God, scriptures say you don't belong to Him. So now in this text, as you read the text today, verse 32, all the believers were one in heart and one in mind. One heart and one mind? That's got to be the Holy Spirit. One heart and one mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Now we're going to get into what they shared and what they did. I like the way they set that up. They were all one heart and one mind. I'll let you know why it happened. One heart and one mind. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerful. You get that? God's grace is a powerful thing. God's grace was so powerful. Oh, Lord God Almighty. God's grace was so powerful at work in them all. Now we're going to see what the power of God did, why they did what they did. Because, you know, human nature is what? Human nature is what? Averse to God, human nature. We want to do our thing when we want to do it and how we want to do it. But now, back in that day, they were no different. But they were no different. But we'll see what happened. 34. there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sale, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Don't tell me you don't do that. And nobody even here do that in this day and age. They don't do that. And these people, they did that. Normally, they would not do that. What influenced them to do that? We read it. They were all of one mind. And that one mind that was in them was the Holy Spirit that led them as the Holy Spirit came. And this is just a few days from that period of time. And so this is why they did what they did. This is why they did what they did. Oh, we're getting ahead of the game here. Well, I'll get used to this thing pretty soon. But in any event, that is what happened. And the apostles, at least the people there, as they were teaching the people what to do, what was going on. They did not call what they had their own, a pride of vainglory. They devoted all to Christ and everything that they had. So God used them to do that, and they helped everyone. Now, what is going on here as well is the inception of the church, the creation and the beginning of the New Testament church. Christ was crucified, as I mentioned, and rose from the dead. He appeared to more than 500 people at this particular juncture. We see many of those people in our scripture text were moved by the victory of Christ. This kind of news spread like wildfire. A man of Christ's stature and reputation, it would spread like wildfire. There were many witnesses of his crucifixion. There were many witnesses of his crucifixion as he was on the cross, and witnesses to his resurrection. This passage of scripture documents the work of God. Now, what do I mean by that? This passage of scripture documents the work of God. How God used these people and the Holy Spirit worked in them for the beginning of the church. The conception of the church of God, New Testament. Tower of salvation. And that's when it began, and we know that. And we have heard that in various scriptures. But I want to bring to you a couple more examples in this. And you read that passage of scripture and go through it where the people brought all that they had and they laid it down at the disciples' feet. And I think I'll just go ahead and read that one because that one was not up there, but verse 35 and verse 36. Verse 35, as they came, I'm back up a little bit. I think I skipped something here that you need to know. In verse 35, and they put all that they brought at the disciples' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Now, here's what I missed. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles call Barnabas. Yeah, I missed that. Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field that he owned, and he brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. You just don't do that. Now, you know about Barnabas. Barnabas and Paul, and later on, got together, and he accompanied Paul. Now, what happened here is, as all the disciples that did this, as you read this passage of Scripture, they did not call what they had their own in pride of vainglory. They devoted all for Christ, John 6:33. I'm going to bring your attention to that. Now, what does that say? Do not store up treasures on earth, but store your treasures in heaven. And this, in effect, is what these people were doing and what they did. Though I would grant it, the Holy Spirit was the one who was leading them and inspiring them to do it. They did not call what they had their own in pride of vainglory. They devoted all for Christ. For we can call nothing, I want you to get this, for we can call nothing our own but what? Sin. We are all sinners. There's none good, no, not one. And back in the day, they were no different. They were no different. What we have. For we can call nothing our own but sin. What we have in the world is more God's than ours. You realize that? So what we have in the world is more God's than ours. It came from God, and we must use it for him. And this is what they were doing. This is the beginning of the church. So we have that mind in the church that you serve God, God blesses you, and you should do what? Bless others as you have opportunity, and God provides for you. Amen? So it comes from God, and we must use it for him and be accountable to him. So these individuals, God gave them this, the Holy Spirit, so that they would be able to do this. Brothers and sisters, we are able to do it. Don't we do it? God gives us the opportunity and privilege to do so. We should be able to do that. So keeping all this in mind, what they did. And I just want to go and reiterate a little bit, give you a little more pointers. And there's something I want to leave with you at the end. Christ, he was crucified, rose from the dead. He appeared to more than 500 people, really. We see many of these people in our scripture text today, and that's what I was trying to relate to you of what they did. And it was because of the Holy Spirit, and it was because of the beginning of the New Testament church of which we are part today. And that's what it is. This kind of news spread like wildfire, as I've mentioned. A man of his stature and reputation, definitely it would. There were many witnesses to his crucifixion and his resurrection. This passage of scripture documents the work of God in its conception of the church of the New Testament. And so it was. And now, the other day, I was thinking about this and realizing here we are, the church of the firstborn, and how God have blessed us. That was a short passage of scripture, but it's so powerful, just realizing this beginning of the church and what God did to those people and enabled them to be willing to help others. Remember, they gave what they had to everyone that had need. Now, there's two things I want to leave with you, because you can read this, and you know Ananias and Sapphira. You know that example. Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias sold some property. Remember we said people brought the money and gave lay at the disciples' feet. Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias sold some property. He told Peter that he sold it for such and such. And so he told them, well, why are you lying concerning the amount that you sold it for? And so God struck him dead. I'll make it a little short. Then Sapphira came in and he asked her the same thing. And she agreed with him and said, yeah, we sold it for such and such and such. And so he told her concerning the ones that are coming in now, they just buried your husband for lying, and they lied to the Holy Spirit. The thing is, what we get from that is what? When you have an opportunity to fess up, like Sapphira did, I mean, she didn't then you should take that opportunity. God gives you that opportunity through his grace. But they didn't do it. And the other hand of doing that, you find that they lost their lives in that. But you know what? God is merciful. Those are illustrations, my friend, that you do not lie to the Holy Spirit. And he did that for that particular reason, that you should not lie to the Holy Spirit. And I thought that was quite significant because I hadn't really picked up on that before, the way God allowed that to happen and to play out. But yet at the same time, she had an opportunity. They both had an opportunity to set the record straight. You follow where I'm going? And when God gives you that opportunity, because he searched the heart, he knows what you have done, and he knows what you will do. And he gives you an opportunity to set the record straight. Set it straight, people. That was the example. He gave them the opportunity to set the record straight, and they refused. They refused. God is a good God. God is merciful. And as without God's grace, where would we be? Without God's grace. There's one thing I want to leave you with, and I thank God for giving it to me. It's a song. Sometime the praise team, they say, well, you got a song. Yeah, I got another song. Excuse me. Now you old timers like me would probably know this song. And God, as I keep saying, is a good God. And it's called Stand By Me. Don't you want God to stand by you? Do you know God is always standing by you? He promised what? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now bear with me. Now, you know, Benny King did a little version of Stand By Me, but that's not the version I'm going to give you today, Benny King. Because I know, coming from the old country boy like myself, Ray Charles and a lot of those guys that were singing spiritual music, gospel music, they took some of those songs, the tune, and they changed the words. But this is the old song. And this was written in 1856. Old Negro gospel song. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon a sea, thou who rules wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. And I say again, in the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the host of sin assails me and my strength begins to fail me, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. And I remember some of these songs being sung down in the old Baptist church down south. And boy, they were powerful. In the midst of fault and failure, you know, God, stand by me. And you can count on him. When I've done the best I can and my friends misunderstand, thou who knows all about me, stand by me. When I've done the best I can and my friends just don't seem to get it, Lord God, you know, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, O thou lily of the valley, stand by me, Lord. That song, that's a powerful song. And don't we want our God to be there for us, to stand by us in every situation? And he can, and he will, and he promised. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Amen. So God will stand by you. Will you stand by God? Will you stand by God? Pray that you will. Pray that you will. All for Christ and what? Christ for all. And he will never fail us. He will always stand by us. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, great God and creator, we praise you and thank you, Father, for your goodness, your mercy, and your love. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here. We thank you for your words. We thank you for those things that you have done for our admonition and for our learning, Father, that we may be drawn closer to you and that you draw us by your Holy Spirit as we have seen. And how, Father, the Spirit came in power. And, Father, you shook the place. And when we pray, when the disciples prayed, you shook that place too. And, Father, you can shake this facility as well, great God. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will hear what we have said here today. And, Father, that you will stand by us all the way. When we go out and when we come in, even as David prayed, you will be with us. And we need you, Lord, especially during these days, great God. And we know things are going to be worse. But Father, we know as you stand by us, we have nothing to fail. We give you praise, great God, and give you thanks. And ask your guidance and your blessings through this day and every day. We ask it all in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.